لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. وقال سبحانه وتعالى ألف لام ميم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة، رواه الإمام الترمذي رحمه الله. وعن عبد الرحمن ابن أبي نعم أنه قال سألت عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رجلا من أهل العراق سأله عن المحرم يقتل الذباب، فقال سيدنا عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما هذا الرجل من أهل العراق سألني أو يسألونني عن دم البعوض أو عن دم الذباب، وهم يقتلون ابن بنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected brothers, elders, our young friends, our sisters in Islam, we all know, alhamdulillah, in terms of the Islamic calendar, we've all entered into the new Islamic year. And this is a masala that we should always remember. Everyone should remember. We should make sure we know the Islamic date. We know the Islamic date. Today is the 9th of Muharram. Tomorrow will be the 10th of Muharram. And the day after will be the 11th of Muharram. It is Fardul Kifaya. It is an obligation, communal obligation. At least some people in the community should know the Islamic date. But the main thing is, what do we learn? What do we learn from the month of Muharram? Inshallah, there is every single month in the Islamic calendar where we know of something that happened in that Islamic calendar. So example, when it comes to the month of Muharram, there is one thing that we all take from the month of Muharram. The month of Muharram and the month of Dhul Hijjah are very, very similar in terms of the lesson that we can learn. MashaAllah, a true believer, As-Sa'id man wa'iza bighayrihi. Some people quote it as a hadith, but it is not a hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. A truly fortunate individual is the one who takes advice from other people. You know, you don't go and try Kush. You know the drug? You must have seen in the Sky News yesterday. In West Africa, one of the biggest problems currently in the likes of Sierra Leone, in Gambia, in some of the other countries in the western area of Africa, one of the greatest problems they have is a drug called Kush. K-U-S-H. And it's turning people into zombies. And you will see one of the main suppliers of that drug is the UK. One of the main suppliers of that drug is the UK. It's very, very unfortunate. But khair, inshallah, what do we learn? We learn the lesson of sacrifice from the month of Muharram. Now, alhamdulillah, you know, if you look at worldly matters, look at yourself in order to become a businessman. In some cases, in order to just make ends meet, especially those people who are paying rent, those people who are paying mortgages. And you know, inshallah, please, you know, if you can try and avoid taking more mortgages, and if you have a mortgage, at your first possible instance, try and repay it off. At the first available opportunity that you have, try and repay it off. If you look at in terms of world, how many sacrifices does an individual do? In order to set up a business, how much sacrifices are we doing? Just speaking to someone before Jumu'ah namaz now, and mashallah, he was saying, maine ek zamane mein bahut kaam kar liya. You know, I worked very, very hard in the 1970s, 80s, 90s, and mashallah, from one shop, he's got now 4 or 5 houses. You know, people have worked. You know, you must have heard of Elon Musk. You must have heard Elon Musk. Today, you know where he is, where he is. What did he do in order to get there? You can look at his biography. There came a time in his life where he used to work right at the beginning when he initiated his business. How much did he work? You will find between 80 to 100 hours every single week. He himself says there were some days in my life where I'm working between 17 to 18 hours per day I am working. If worldly success needs sacrifice, then what do you and I think, you know, in terms of our work, in terms of our akhirah, in terms of attaining Jannah? You know, mashallah, they say the road to Jannah is not easy. It wants sacrifice. The hadith of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, man khafa adlaja, wa man adlaja balagha al-manzil. Ala inna sil'at Allahi ghaliya, ala inna sil'at Allahi al-jannah. Anyone who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he starts his journey. And one who starts the journey will reach the destination. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Qul, hadihi sabili ad'u ila Allah. Ala basiratin ana wa man ittaba'ani. Walladhina jahadu fina lanahdiyannahum subulana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, you have to strive. You have to struggle. You have to give a sacrifice. And Allah ta'ala will open up the pathways. And the pathways that Allah will open, inshallah, will go into Jannah. So khair. Now look at the masala in regards to, we were saying, look at the sacrifices. Our entire history is filled with sacrifices. Look at Rasulullah alayhi salam says himself, for ourselves, role models are the Anbiya and the Sahaba. Rasulullah says, Ana da'watu Abi Ibrahim. I am the manifestation of the dua of my father, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Look at the sacrifices of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Someone asked so beautifully, how did Ibrahim alayhi salam become Khalilullah? How did Ibrahim alayhi salam become Khalilullah? MashaAllah, you know they say, Rasulullah, if you look at the manaqib and the virtues of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, you will find Rasulullah alayhi salam said, لَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. If I were to take anyone as a bosom friend, I would have taken Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu as a very, very intimate bosom friend. But ولكن أخوة الإسلام وخلة الإسلام. You know, you got the brotherhood and you got the friendship of Islam. Otherwise, Khalil is only, two people are classified as Khalil. Number one, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And number two, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu salam. They are the two Khalils that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took. Ibrahim alayhi salam did not become a Khalil al-Rahman without just anything. You know, what did he do? He says, قرب نفسه للنيران وولده للقربان وماله للضيفان ورميه للطغيان ورميه للشيطان. What did he do? Ibrahim alayhi salam gave immense sacrifices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to say in the Quran, وَإِذِ بِتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتِ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. When his Lord tested Ibrahim alayhi salam with multiple tests, and Ibrahim alayhi salam completed every single test. So Ibrahim alayhi salam's life is a complete makeup of sacrifice, number one. Number two, look at the life of, you know, from his progeny. MashaAllah, you know what they say? What you will do to today, your children will reap the rewards and the benefits of your sacrifices. What did Ibrahim alayhi salam not do? Ibrahim alayhi salam did not bow in front of the stars, in front of the moon, in front of the sun. Allah Ta'ala says in the seventh juz of the Quran, in Suratul An'am, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam said, you know, فَلَمَّا رَأَى الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرَ فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam look at the stars, and then he look at the moon, and then he saw the stars. So the sun, when they all went down, and when they disappeared, and when they set, Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam said, these things that disappear, they cannot be my good. So Ibrahim alayhi salam avoided prostrating in front of the stars, the moon, and the sun. What does Allah do? Three generations down, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam? Those very things prostrate in front of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaba wash-shamsa wal-qamar ra'aytuhum li sajidin. Yusuf, the sacrifices that you make today, inshallah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your children will benefit and they will reap the rewards of your sacrifices. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, in terms of, look what our parents have done. Okay, they went through the sacrifices, they left their countries. Okay, they came to the country, they worked very, very hard. And today, MashaAllah, a lot of us are reaping the financial rewards of what the sacrifices they gave. Khair, inshallah. So look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. Number two, look at Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. His life does not start directly becoming a governor and becoming the finance minister of Egypt. Yusuf alayhi salatu salam's life started with jealousy of his brothers. He ends up in a well. He is taken out of a well. He is turned into slavery. And then he has to stay in the, you know, you can say the palace of the king of the time. And there, or Aziz Misr. And thereafter he stays in jail for a minimum of 12 years. And absolutely falsely accused. This is why when the king sent an individual to summon Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, he said, I'm not coming. I'm not coming until my name is not cleared. Until my name is not cleared. If someone falsely accuses of someone, you should fight your corner. And that is what we learn from the life of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Look at his life. He did not become the treasurer of Egypt. He gave a lot of sacrifice. Look at Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam and the sacrifices that were given before for Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam. The people of Egypt were absolutely thirsty for his blood. They were thirsty for his blood. Fir'aun was after Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. He leaves Egypt and he goes to Madian. And he stays there for 10 years. Thereafter he is told, the very individual that you fled from, you have to go back and you have to invite him. Idhab ila Fir'aun. Innahu tagha. You go to Fir'aun, he has crossed every single limit that is possible. He's crossed everything. Look at the life of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu salam and the sacrifices of the Messenger of Allah. You know, Sayyida Aisha, you know, just... You can look at the entire life of the Messenger of Allah and look at the seerah of the Messenger of Allah. You find in the ahadith, Sayyida Aisha says, there were times in the apartment of the Messenger of Allah where a gas cooker or a fire was not lit up for 2 months, complete 2 months. And we used to see 3 moons without having a light of fire in the apartment of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu salam. Sayyida Aisha says, we only ate ma shabi'na, ma shabi'na bittamarain illa ba'da khibar. We only ate even dates to our fill after Rasulullah conquered the area of Khaybar. After the area of, you know, conquest of Khaybar. Sayyida Aisha says, one day I was sleeping on the same bed as the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu salam, and Rasulullah is pressing his belly against the bed. And I said, oh Messenger of Allah, what are you doing? He says, oh Aisha, I've not had anything for 3 days. I've not had anything for 3 days. Why was the world created for the Messenger of Allah? Rasulullah alayhi salam says, if I wanted, Allah Ta'ala would have transformed the Mount of Uhud into gold for the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu salam. But Rasulullah said, no, I will eat one day and I will thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day I will stay hungry and I will exercise patience before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the sacrifices. And then you look at the lives of the Sahaba. Look at Sayyidah Sumayya bint Khayyat. Look at Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir. Look at his father Sayyidina Yasir. And then you look at Sayyidina Bilal, and you can look at Sayyidina Khabbab ibn Arat, and you look at the galaxy of the Sahaba. There is an entire chapter mentioned by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah in the chapter of the Sahaba where he says, "Ma laqiya an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ashabuhu bil mushrikeen bi Makkah al-Mukarrama." What did Rasulullah sallallahu and the Sahaba go through in terms of sacrifices in Makkah Mukarrama? You know, Rasulullah went through immense sacrifices. If you look at the last 10 surahs of the Quran, "Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil?" Rasulullah was told, oh Muhammad, we will give you everything. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Now, because you have everything, you have gone through the sacrifices that you have. Now you can give i'lan in Makkah Mukarrama to the kuffar of Makkah Mukarrama. You can give i'lan that you are waging war against the kuffar of Makkah Mukarrama. Hence, you have the surah, Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, comes straight after Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Now just imagine, Rasulullah is given the sacrifices that he is. This is why Allah Ta'ala took him for Mi'raj straight after Ta'if. You give something for the sake of Allah, Allah Ta'ala will give you back. Now you know what I'm saying in regards to, Alhamdulillah, from the time of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, from the time of the Messenger of Allah. Now fast forward 1400 years. Fast forward 1400 years. There is an individual that was in the news recently, a few days ago, a 60-year-old man is given a loaf of bread and he starts crying. 60-year-old man in Gaza is given a loaf of bread and he starts crying. Someone asked him, why are you crying? He says, because this is the first piece of bread that I've been given after 3 days. This is the first thing that I have after 3 days. You know, this is a sacrifice of the people of Gaza. This is the sacrifice of the people of Gaza. Harvard University, one of the best, most prestigious universities of the entire world. I'm sure everyone knows where it is in America, in Boston. Harvard University have come up a few weeks ago with an estimation of how many people have been killed in Gaza, in Khan Yunus, in West Bank. You will not believe, you might be shocked at this. This is a non-Muslim organization. But for me and you, the lesson is, look at the sacrifice they have given. And inshallah, inshallah, thumma inshallah, it will bring about light for them. It will bring about light for them. Allah Ta'ala will change the halat. And halat will change. Because sacrifices that is given for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala does not go to waste. Rasulullah gave sacrifices today, 1400 years down the line. We remember the name of the Messenger of Allah. Harvard University says, do you know how many people have been killed since October the 7th, 2023 in Gaza, in the entire area? You'll be surprised. 400,000. 400,000. They will say it is 56,700. Nowadays they'll say Hamas run organization, or the health organization run by Hamas, they are saying 57,600 or 56,700. Harvard University are saying there are at least 400,000. Do you know how many children? 50%. 200,000. In other words, 20% of the entire population in Gaza has been wiped out. The population was just over 2 million, 2.2 million, and over 400,000 have been wiped out. This is according to an organization, non-Muslim organization, Harvard University, and they are very, very, it's a reliable source that we can take. 400,000. Some months ago, many, many months ago, there was another non-Muslim who said there were approximately at least over 300,000 that have been killed. How many are buried under the rubble? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Only Allah subhanahu, that is their sacrifice. We go on, inshallah, and in the month of Muharram, we remember the sacrifice of who? Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali, the grandson of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And I'm sure I don't need to tell you the history of Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali. MashaAllah, you know one great thing that we learn from the life of Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith I quoted in the beginning, mentioned by Imam al-Tirmizi on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam one day saw Hassan and Hussein and he said, Sayyida Shababi Ahl al-Jannah al-Hassan wal-Hussein. The leaders of the youngsters of Jannah is going to be Hassan and Hussein. They will be the two leaders of the people of Jannah and the youngsters of the people of Jannah. Sayyida Shababi Ahl al-Jannah al-Hassan wal-Hussein. MashaAllah, the ulama say, Hassan and Hussein, from ma bayna al-sadr ila al-ra'as, kana al-Hassan shabihan bin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you were to see from the chest upwards, including the face, there was one individual exactly seemed like the Messenger of Allah, and that was his grandson, Hassan ibn Ali. And if you look from the chest downwards, right till the bottom, it was Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali. We find in the hadith of Salama radiyallahu anha, one day Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam told me whilst I was with the Messenger of Allah, oh Salama, you go behind the veil, I have a guest, and don't allow anyone to enter. You do not allow anyone to enter the apartment. It so happened Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali was born in 4 AH in the month of Shawwal. In the month of Shawwal, so when Rasulullah passed away, he was only 7 years old. When Rasulullah passed away, not even fully 7 years old. Because in 11 AH, in the month of Shawwal, he would have become 7 years old. So he would have been approximately just under 10 and a half. Sorry, 6 and a half. He would have been approximately 6 and a half when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. Salama says, suddenly Hussein ibn Ali came. And I couldn't say no to him. It was a very, very young toddler. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says, or whoever the angel was, said, oh, Messenger of Allah, oh, Muhammad, do you love Hussein ibn Ali? And I said, yes, I love him. Shall I tell you, your followers will assassinate him. Your followers will kill him. And if you would like, I will show you the place where he will be assassinated. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, or any other angels that was there, well, what did they do? They flapped their wings and they brought some soil from the area of Karbala and they gave it to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. It was red soil. And in turn, Rasulullah gave this to Sayyida Salama and said, the angel has told me this is where my grandson Hussein ibn Ali is going to be martyred. There's a very, very big lesson we learn from the life of Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali. If you look at the life of Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali and how he was martyred, if you look at how he was martyred, you know, this is... In 60 AH, when Hazrat Muawiyah passed away in the month of Rajab. In the month of Rajab, he passed away. Yazid ibn Muawiyah is his son. And Hazrat Muawiyah had taken allegiance with all the people of Sham for the hands of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. In Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, people did not take allegiance to Yazid ibn Muawiyah. And the reason why, he had two very bad habits. Number one, music. He was very fond of music. And number two, consumption of alcohol. Yazid ibn Muawiyah used to drink a lot of alcohol, and he used to, he was very fond of music. Hazrat Muawiyah used to summon him, advise him, and tell him, "Oh my son, your friends will never respect you, and your enemies will use that against you, if you can stop." And he was very fond of pets. MashaAllah, he used to make his animals ride on horses that were adorned with gold. Okay, that is how he used to make his animals ride on horses. Okay, so anyway, people did allegiance to Yazid ibn Muawiyah in Sham. But in Medina Munawwara, there was Abdullah ibn Zubair, there was Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali, and there were Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar. These three individuals, they did not swear allegiance to Yazid ibn Muawiyah. So who was a governor at the time? There was a governor at the time, Walid ibn Utbah. Walid ibn Utbah was there in Medina Munawwara, and he was a governor. And he was told to take allegiance from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zubair, Abdullah ibn Umar, and Hussein ibn Ali. Now, it's a very, very long story. Hazrat Hussein ibn Ali and Abdullah ibn Zubair, they both refused. "We will not swear allegiance at the hands of Yazid ibn Muawiyah, no matter what happens." So they said, "You give us one day. You give us one day to think over this." And mashallah, overnight they traveled from Medina Munawwara and they went to Makkah Mukarrama. Now when Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali reaches Makkah Mukarrama, the people of Kufa, they hear that Hussein ibn Ali radiyallahu anhuma is traveled to Makkah Mukarrama. So they wrote letter after letter after letter after letter in order to invite him. You know how many letters they wrote from the people of Kufa to invite him, that "We will take you as our governor, as our in charge." 600 letters came from Kufa. 600 letters came from Kufa to Makkah Mukarrama to invite the Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali. "Okay, you can come and we will take you as our ruler in Kufa." What did Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali do? He sent his cousin, Muslim bin Aqil. "Okay, you go and you look at the situation in Iraq." So he goes to Kufa and he realizes, mashallah, there is a lot of honor here, there is a lot of respect here. 18,000 people did bay'ah on the hands of Muslim bin Aqil, the cousin of Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali. So now, then what happened? Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, who was appointed the governor of Basra by Yazid ibn Muawiyah, he is told, "You need to go and take control of the situation in Kufa." So he comes to Kufa and he puts an arrest warrant against Muslim bin Aqil. And they said, "There is a 3,000 dinar on the head if anyone can lead us to Muslim ibn Aqil." Khair, it's a long story. He was brutally murdered. Muslim bin Aqil, the son, the cousin of Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali, was very, very brutally murdered. But the lesson we learn from Karbala, from the incident of Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali, number one, whatever you do, sometimes never, trust is a very, very big thing. Trust is a very, the riwayat of Sayyidina Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. What did Rasulullah say? "There will come a time upon my ummah that you will barely find one individual that you can trust in the entire community. In the entire community, barely you'll find one." But you know the lesson that we learn. Muslim bin Aqil, before he is brutally murdered by Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, what is the lesson we learn? He told Amr ibn Sa'd, "I've got a few things to tell you. Number one, I have this amount of qarz on my head. Please you make sure you give it. You pay off my debt, number one. My second, now you tell me, and you ask yourselves, and I ask myself, our last concern before we die is the debt that we have on our heads. The money that we have usurped of other individuals. The miras that we have taken of other individuals. Uski hame koi fikr hi nahi hai." You know how suddenly you can die? You see what happened yesterday? Diogo Jota, those people who are supporters of Liverpool, you all know, and everyone knows. he was coming to the UK, and you know the only reason why he was traveling by car? Because he had surgery, and the doctors had told him he was advised against flying. He was advised against flying, so he had to come by road from Portugal to Spain and then catch a ferry. He had to catch a ferry. And he dies en route. See why? It's your death that takes you there. Those people a few weeks ago, okay, in the plane in AAA India, okay, 242 people, they did not know our flight will only last for 30 seconds and then we will be dead. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala makes you pay to get to your death. You have to pay to get to your death. Ask the people of the Titanic. They had to pay to go and die in the Pacific, in the Atlantic Ocean. You know, so khair, what do we learn? Muslim Ibn Uqba says, my wasiyat number one, make sure you repay my debt. Number one. Number two, after I am killed, you must make sure you bury me. That's number two. And number three, send a letter immediately to Sayyidina Hussein Ibn Ali. Send a letter to him and tell him, when I came originally to Kufa, the people were very, very good. They gave me a lot of honor. And within a few days, 18,000 people swore allegiance at the hands of Muslim Ibn Aqil for Sayyidina Hussein. But then they have all done Ghaddari. They've all absolutely deceived me. Tell Sayyidina Hussein Ibn Ali not to come. Not to come. Now, mashallah, you know, en route from Makkah Mukarramah, whilst he's coming to Iraq, he meets Abdullah ibn Muti'. Abdullah ibn Muti', rahimahullah. Abdullah ibn Muti' says, I'm advising you, please, whatever you do, ya Imam, oh Imam Hussein, do not travel to Kufa, because you can't trust the people of Kufa. If there's anyone from Iraq here, I'm really sorry. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, used to say, Al-Kufi la yufi. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, used to say, Al-Kufi la yufi. A person of Kufa will never be Ismail. You can't trust him. You know, mashallah, sometimes, okay, one person does something and everyone gets labeled. But khair, look at the sacrifice of Sayyidina Hussein. But what do we learn from the life of Imam Hussein? Your muqaddar is your muqaddar. Your death will take you where you are going to die. But now, you know, we say, inshallah, I'll finish on this, inshallah, for me and you, the month of Muharram is a lesson of sacrifice. For me and you, what are we going to sacrifice? The people of Gaza are sacrificing what they are. In front of your eyes, yesterday you saw 94 people were gunned down when they've gone for supply of food. 94 people. The day before that, it was 60 or something. The day before that, every single day. The people of Gaza now have just become a number. They've become a number. There's absolutely no value. 400, just imagine 400,000 people. Don't ever trust any leader. You cannot trust any leader. You know what? They are all hypocrites. When it comes to Gaza, when it comes to, you know, what they chanted in Glastonbury last week on Saturday, and now it's become a big, 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 big deal. And it was only a chant. And Israel have killed 400,000 people, and absolutely, you know, our leaders as well, non-Muslims as well, you can only rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the lesson for me and you, what does it mean to sacrifice, and what does it mean for you and me to take a lesson from the month of Muharram? Because that is what we need to take. Number one, sacrifice your desires and your temptations which are haram. We can do that. That is the least we can do. You believe me. When the time will come, Hazrat Mahdi will come, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will come, and you want to be in the army of those individuals. If you have not learned to sacrifice your desires, if you're still drinking coke, there's something wrong with you. If you are still drinking coke, in terms of health and everything, okay, but in a you know, from the perspective of supporting Gaza and Palestine, you should be ashamed of yourself. If you still have coke at home, you should really be ashamed of yourself. So number one, you sacrifice your desires and your temptations. In the summer, you will see, you will go out and people will be barely clothed. What do you do there? You keep focused. Keep a tasbih in your hand. Keep a musabbiha in your hand. Keep, you know, what did Rasulullah say? The hadith mentioned by Imam al-Tirmizi, rahimahullah. What do you do? Count on your fingers. At every given time, try and keep your tongue moist in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah says, count on your fingers, because there will be question on the day of Qiyamah and they will speak. They will be made to speak and your fingers will speak on the day of Qiyamah. So inshallah, control your desires and your temptations which are haram. Look after your eyes in the summer. Because you know why? Whatever you have attained by coming into the masjid and spiritually, there are two ways of losing everything. Number one, by way of the heart, and number two, by way of the eyes. You can lose everything by way of the heart, you can lose everything. By way of the eyes, you can lose everything. Whatever gain you have made spiritually, you will lose everything. Inshallah, there are many, many other ways of sacrificing. Inshallah, sacrifice your sleep to come for Fajr namaz. Sacrifice your sleep to come for Fajr namaz. If we can't do that, you just ask yourself, would I be willing to make the sacrifice that my brothers and sisters are doing in Gaza, in Palestine? If you can't sacrifice your sleep in the morning to come for Fajr namaz in the morning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all the tawfiq wa sallallahu ala khayri khalqihi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Just a few announcements. Firstly, Alhamdulillah, we had Mufti Menksab came last week. So we just wanted to thank our Mulana Salim Saab. I know he's not going to like me saying this in front of him, but we just want to say extend Jazakallah Khair to him, as he was the one who was able to facilitate him, bringing him here. Mufti Saab had a great time, so inshallah, hopefully we'll bring him back again. And also, please do dua for our Mulana Saab for all of the hard work and effort that he does for our community. In regards to the parking, Alhamdulillah, 90% of people that come here are parking in a correct way, and they're listening to us, and they're putting up with us. Okay, I know sometimes we can be a little bit harsh, but we have to be in a way. So please forgive us in advance. But Alhamdulillah, 90% of people are parking in a correct way, just to make sure so that everybody can leave in the right amount of time. Some people got work. The 10% that are usually brothers that are not here, don't come regularly, they're passing by, they probably won't come again. So we do have that on a weekly occurrence. Before, there was a time where there wasn't any yellow lines on the main road, and we used to tell people not to park there. Now there's yellow lines. Then we used to tell people not to park there because you're going to get a ticket. The last 2 weeks, there's been ticket inspectors. So to combat this, we really urge brothers that are able to come to the second salah. I understand not everybody is able to because of lunch breaks and you're on a time constraint, but especially the brothers that maybe are able to do this, the elderly brothers that are not working are able to come to the second Jama'at. We've got so much space, we're not even half full. So you can come, you can take your time. You know, so please, we request everybody to try and come to the second one so that then we've got parking, and then also not parking on the main road. The last point I want to make is if anyone wants to us to share events for them or to share programs for them, we cannot do this on the Harlow Islamic Center official WhatsApp page. That's not what it's created for. Okay, so the information that's coming out from there is only announcements from the masjid of activities, what's going on. There's lots of other WhatsApp groups that you are more than welcome to share on there. If there's events, your businesses, that they have to facilitate them. Okay, so if you want us to share anything, you can share in those other groups, but the official group is not for that purpose. The other point as well is there is, not just recently, but previously in the past as well, a lot of people come and leave their leaflets here. So you cannot do this. There's a notice there that says you can't leave your leaflets without permission. If you want to advertise something, you need to speak to us beforehand. You know, we need to make sure and check what it is first before you're able to do so. And also, there's some brothers that sometimes leave items in the masjid. Okay, the masjid is the house of Allah. This is not a dumping ground, okay? Because there's a lot of items that people leave, their TV stands, leave all sorts of things, and we have to then clear up. Jazakallah khair.
Brothers, sisters, inshallah, just very quickly, inshallah, a few announcements. One young boy, 11 years old, died of cancer at Riyan Tawqir, mashallah, from in Pakistan. A lot of brothers helped for the janazah and other costs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. May Allah ta'ala grant him jannah to firdaus. May Allah grant sabr to the family, inshallah. There's a 25-year-old man is in ICU in London, inshallah. Please make dua for him. Allah grant him whatever is best for him, whatever is khair for him. If mashallah, if Allah ta'ala grants him long life, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him long life. May Allah grant sabr to the family. Inshallah, if anyone is fasting, if you want to fast, you can fast tomorrow. Tomorrow is the 10th of Muharram. You can just fast one day. You don't have to fast 2 days. If you were to fast one day, it is okay, because now the Jews on the 10th of Muharram, they don't fast. So if you were to fast just one day as well, it is okay. There is no imitation of the Jewish community. Riaz Bhai, our elderly brother, mashallah, his brother-in-law is unwell in hospital. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him healthy, speedy recovery. And one of his relatives has passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them jannatul firdaus, and may Allah grant best of both the worlds, inshallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الذي خص بالتشريف بعض شهور أحمده سبحانه وتعالى وأشكره على إنعامه وإحسانه وهو عليم بذات الصدور أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله الصبور الشكور صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ذوي الفضل والأجور أما بعد فيا معشر المسلمين أوصيكم ونفسي أولًا بتقوى الله عز وجل والتمسك بسنة المطهرة عباد الله لقد أظلنا شهر عظيم وعام جديد نحن في شهر المحرم الحرام واعلموا أن الله افتتح السنة بشهر حرام وختم بشهر حرام فليس شهر في السنة بعد شهر رمضان أعظم عند الله من المحرم متعنا الله بحرمته وعظمته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل الصيام بعد رمضان شهر الله المحرم وأفضل الصلاة بعد المفروضة صلاة الليل رواه الإمام مسلم رحمه الله وروى الطبراني عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس ليوم فضل على يوم في الصيام إلا شهر رمضان ويوم عاشوراء فيستحب استحبابا أكيدا يوم عاشوراء وأن يصام قبله أو بعده لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لئن بقيت إلى قابل لأصومن التاسع رواه الإمام مسلم رحمه الله نسأل الله التوفيق لما يحب ويرضى فكل عام ونحن بخير وعافية وسلامة أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابي كلهم عدول أصحابي كالنجوم فبأيهم اختليتم اهتديتم وقال الله عز وجل أولئك حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون ألا إن حزب الله هم الغالبون اللهم ارض عنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل الدين ولا تجعلنا منهم اللهم اغفر لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك اللهم احفظ فلسطين وأهلها اللهم انصرهم على من عاداهم اللهم ارزقهم الأمن والأمان والسلامة والإيمان اللهم فرج كربهم اللهم اشف مرضاهم اللهم ارحم وتقبل شهداءهم اللهم انصرهم وثبت أقدامهم اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا يا قوي يا عزيز اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى المبارك من الظلم والعدوان واجعله آمنا مطمئنا لعبادك المصلين اللهم اجعل لنا فيه صلاة قبل الممات يا ذا الجلال والإكرام إنك رحيم كريم مجيب الدعوات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله تعالى يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وجل وأهم وأتم وأعظم وأكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون brothers please make sure you fill in all the gaps inshallah brothers are waiting at the back brothers inshallah just walk into the sufuf inshallah you'll find space inshallah
الله أكبر الله أكبر
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
سووا الصفوف فإن تسوية الصفوف من إقامة الصلاة وصلوا صلاة المودعين يا عباد الله الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم يا رحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله ربي من كل ذنب واتوب اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد اللهم ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين Brothers and sisters, inshallah, just a reminder, our brother Nuruddin, mashallah, he's got a charity, is registered in the UK, and he does collection for Gaza every month, the first week of every month, first Friday. So inshallah, he'll be doing the collection for Gaza as well. Please, wholeheartedly, please do assist, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.